Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Oh, we're going to have a fun time today. Tim Staples here for both hours, in a great mood. And you can ask him anything. It's Ask Me Anything this hour and next hour, 888-318-7884. If there's something you would like to know about the Catholic faith, if there's something you would like to know about the person of Jesus, about the moral life, about the Bible, you're welcome to call, and we'd love to have that conversation with you. Whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're a person of faith or not, whatever. If you've got a question pertaining to the Catholic faith, they're all welcome here. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH. Tim Staples, author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, and Nuts and Bolts, a practical how-to guide for evangelism, and also the man behind Jimmy Swaggart Made Me a Catholic. Tim, thanks for being here.
It is great to be with you, my friend, and ain't it a glorious day?
It is. This is a nice time.
This is the best time. Of course, we are spoiled brats in San Diego.
I know.
Every time of the year is a great time of year, but I really do like this time of year because you get... It's not so hot, and of course it never gets so cold, but you get that just perfect.
It felt perfect today.
Yeah.
And I feel bad saying that because I watch the news and there's like 5 feet of snow falling in places, and let's move on. Let's not discuss it too much.
Right. Because people say, you're rubbing it in.
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
888-318-7884 is the number. Don't call with your weather questions. That's enough weather conversation. All you need to know is it's perfect in Southern California.
That's
today.
It.
That is all you need to know about that. Tim, the Staples family, happy Thanksgiving or super sad Thanksgiving?
Oh, my goodness. We just had – it was too much fun.
Yeah.
Too much food, though. Oh, my gosh. I got to get back on my diet.
Valerie is one of those weird people who can make turkey taste good.
Yeah.
I remember having her turkey. I'm like, this is what it's supposed to taste like?
That's
like,
right.
It's
juicy.
It's a weird talent to be able to make – turkey tastes good.
It's true. She really does. And yeah, the time you came over, I remember that. It was especially good, but it's always good. And the kids go absolutely nuts. And then, of course, it's the best part is the meal that day or the tuna fish. I mean, the tuna fish. The turkey sandwich.
The traditional tuna fish? of Thanksgiving.
No, the turkey sandwiches the next day, you know?
Man,
oh,
I know.
Man.
I know. All right, two lines open.
Let's do it.
Four lines full, 888.
Let's talk about Jesus.
Here we go. Let's go to Noah in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Noah, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hey, so I've been looking into Orthodoxy and Catholicism.
Yes.
And I saw that Catholics can, like, they confirm that Orthodox communion is, like, valid and is, in fact, the Eucharist.
Yes.
So my question is, like, how do we get to that point, and why is it valid if they use leavened bread?
Right. Great question, Noah. And the reason is that once a person is validly, and, of course, must be a male, validly ordained to the priesthood, and the fullness of the priesthood being the bishopric, that is something that is accomplished by Jesus Christ himself through the ministry of the ordaining bishop or bishops, because there's always more than one who lays hands on the person being ordained. But the one who ordains has to be a bishop. But that ordination is done by Jesus Christ through the ministry of the bishop, and it cannot be undone. In fact, all ordinations to the priesthood cannot be undone. As you know, sacred scripture repeats multiple places, Hebrews chapter 7 among them, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this is why, my brother, that schisms in the church, which involve a bishop. By the way, a true schism has to involve a bishop, because without a bishop, you don't have a valid church. But with a bishop, if a bishop splits off from the Catholic Church, rejects submission to the Bishop of Rome, he remains a bishop. Now, everything he does is illicit. That is, it's a sin. Every time he says Mass, that is the schismatic bishop, every time he says Mass, that is illicit. It's a mortal sin, in fact, but it is a validly consecrated Eucharist, and all of his ordinations as well are valid, and even though they are illicit. Now, down the road, of course, when we're talking about schisms, we don't, as St. Augustine said 1,600 years ago, we don't attribute the same penalties to the sons of schismatics as we do to the schismatics themselves. So down the road now, we have a different relationship with the Orthodox and other schismatic groups than we did with the initial schismatics. But again, on the objective level, it's such a grave situation because of the fact that even though they're in this situation where they're not in full communion with the church, and therefore there is something terribly lacking here, and we should all bemoan that we all need to be in submission fully to the Bishop of Rome and all the bishops in union with him, because that represents the fullness of the magisterial authority that Jesus Christ gave to the church. And down through the centuries, even decades after the split, you find theologically they will begin to wilt. They will begin to fall. Now, the Orthodox are extremely strong because they have valid bishops. You don't see the schisms, for example, that you see among Protestants, because the Protestants didn't have any bishops, so they were not a schism. That was a heresy. In fact, a large number of heresies involved with all the various Protestant splits that happened 500 years ago. But they don't have valid priesthood, valid Eucharist. And that's why I would argue, Cy Kellett, why you have tens of thousands of Protestant denominations and just tremendous disagreements theologically on virtually every matter, from Trinitarian theology to soteriology, sacraments, if you have any, sacramental theology, and so forth. The Orthodox have all seven sacraments. They have valid Eucharist, as we said. And theologically, because they still have the bishopric, they are much, much closer to us. Nevertheless, it is still a huge loss when the excommunication happened 1,000 years ago. And even though the excommunications have been lifted, they still, unfortunately, are not in full communion with the church. But again, I'm going a little bit beyond what you asked, but I think it's important to get a little bit of a background on the situation to understand why their Eucharists are valid. It's because they had valid bishops at the time of the schism. And so all of their ordinations, their masses, and so forth are valid, but again, not licit. Okay. Does that make sense, Noah?
That cleared up everything I had.
All
right,
brother.
Nice. All right. Noah, I tell you what, I'd like to send you a copy of a book we have here. It's called Answering Orthodoxy. If you'd like a copy, all you have to do is sit, wait on the line, and we will send that to you. I have to take a quick break. Thank you very much for the call. A couple lines open, 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Hi, thanks for all that you do. I've learned so much from you.
I appreciate what you guys do, and I have to say, this is the first time I call. I just love listening to EWTN, and you're part of that great team out there. It just blesses me so much.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I listen to this every day, and you guys are great, so I thank you for that.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples is our guest, and it's Ask Me Anything this hour. If you have a question about Catholic faith in any, from any era or whatever the topic is, if you just would like to know why do Catholics believe something that we believe or what want to get straight what we believe about something, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Today's Giving Tuesday. And we want to thank those who have given, but also invite you to support Catholic Answers in our mission to share the truth of the Catholic faith. And while you're thinking of us, please don't forget to support the heroes, the real heroes out there, the local Catholic radio stations and networks. They're doing wonderful work. Also, don't forget our friends over at EWTN. They make it possible for Catholic Answers Live to reach so many people. Thank you for your support. You can go to givecatholic.com. Together, we're all working to spread the gospel. And every gift makes a difference. All right, back to the phones we go. And Keel in Cleveland, Ohio, watching on YouTube. We're glad you're here. Keel, go ahead with your question.
Thank you.
Yes.
Tim, I'm asking you this, you personally, specifically, because of your experience. I'm a Protestant.
Yes.
I was a Calvinist, but I've listened to you guys too long, and I kind of don't.
You got liberated, sister.
Well, don't tell anybody. I'm not ready to come up.
Hey, you know what? Real quick, I have to share with you that, you know, I kind of say this jokingly often on the broadcast, but, you know, I was a Catholic. I was a Calvinist for about a month. Actually, it was longer than that. But there was many years ago in my Protestant odyssey, so to speak, I had a really close friend who was a Calvinist, a strict five-point Calvinist, and he and I used to go at it. This was back when I was in the Marine Corps. And again, I was a Protestant then. And, you know, some of his arguments were really good, and it shook me for a time. And it really helped me to dive deeper into soteriology and such. So I'm always grateful to that young Marine who helped me way back then. Now, this was before, again, but long before I even began my odyssey to the Catholic faith, but I saw, you know, kind of both sides in that battle with that young man, and it's helped me all these years. In fact, sometimes I use the arguments that I learned back then as a Protestant, I still use in order to show the errors of five-point Calvinism. But at any rate, your question.
Yes. So my question is, so if the Catholic Church is the church,
yeah,
and I have many times, I'm very close to jumping in,
yes.
Why then would God call you not in the Catholic Church, or any other? I know I was listening to a pastor the other day, you know, 50 years in the ministry, a wonderful testimony. God clearly used him.
Yes.
As just a tremendous way.
Sure.
Why? Why is God calling people to him in that way? Do you not understand the question?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, you may have heard recently, you know, Pope Francis was called on the carpet because he made a statement in a talk he gave to an interreligious gathering in Singapore of youth, and he made the statement, you know, there are many paths, and the various religions of the world represent different paths to the same salvation or to the same God. And of course he got hammered by a lot of folks. But of course, what he was saying is absolutely true, not in denying that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Of course, Pope Francis has said that. In fact, I wrote a little thing on that and quoted Pope Francis as saying, of course, Jesus is the only way. But here's the key. In Jesus Christ, there are many paths in the one path. We are not all on the same identical path, Cy Kellett, in as much as when I was a young Baptist at 10 years old who had no idea of the truth of the Catholic faith. To me, the Catholic faith was so stupid, right? It was to me. I thought it was just ridiculous. Calling priests father, Jesus said, calling him your father. I mean, how can these people right. be that stupid, right? But I was on the path to salvation in Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'd just been baptized when I was 10 years old. Now, this is what, you know, what Pope Francis means and what the Catholic Church teaches is that, yes, there's no salvation apart from Christ. There's no salvation apart from the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is Jesus Christ extended into this world. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that St. Paul tells us the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. However, I'm going to quote to you the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 836, because I think it kind of synopsizes in literally a sentence what you find in the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, sections 14 through 16. I'm going to give you homework. Okay, have you ever heard the term before, Lumen Gentium, the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you're familiar with that. You can get that online. It's easy to find. But sections 14 through 16 beautifully kind of summarize what we're saying here. There's one way to Jesus Christ, to God, and that is through Jesus Christ in his church. However, and let me quote the Catechism here. In section 836, all men are called. Don't you love the Catechism, Cy Kellett? Sometimes this is, listen to this, one sentence. If I could do this, Cy Kellett, instead of 1 hour, just do one sentence.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Here it is. Here's the Catechism. All men are called to this Catholic unity of the people of God, and to it in different ways belong or are ordered. Let me say that again. And to it. So all men are called to this Catholic unity of the people of God, right? All are called to be Catholic. Jesus didn't establish the church for the fun of it. He wants everybody to be in it, right? And this is what he said. Right. All men are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. And to it, in different ways, belong or are ordered the Catholic faithful, others who believe in Christ, and finally, all mankind called by God's grace to salvation, right? So notice how it says, in different ways, Cy Kellett.
Yeah, yeah.
They are called to the one way. And I know for all those folks that are just screaming at Pope Francis, please read the Catechism, section 836. But for you, my sister, right? In different ways. You see, God, of course, he gave us the church because he wants everybody in it, but he also gave us this incredible gift of free will. And some people reject what God has given to us, right? And they go astray from the Catholic faith, and they start all these other churches and ecclesial communities, and there's all sorts of confusion, right? Well, all of these different sects and so forth, as they split off, some people are going to go to hell for doing that because they are rejecting. Others will not because they are invincibly ignorant. They don't fully understand exactly what it is they are doing. They are confused, and they're doing the best they can where they are, and they are cooperating with God's grace. Now, some people are born into situations where they're Muslim, or they're Hindu, or they're in an atheist family somewhere in the middle of Albania, right? And the way the grace of God gets to them, and notice it says, in different ways belong or are ordered That's a beautiful line there, and you'll see that in Lumen Gentium 14 through 16, how it goes through the litany from the people of God in section 14 in the church, section 15, those who have valid sacraments that are Christians, and section 16, those who are not Christian. Even atheists have the possibility of salvation. You know, we could get into all the whys because, you know, they have such a absolute crazy view of God. When they say they reject God, they're not rejecting God. They're rejecting a flying spaghetti monster, or they're rejecting some crazy view that they have of God. And so the grace of God is even able to reach someone like that, as long as they cooperate with the grace of God they have where they are. And very important, my sister, God is giving grace to everyone in ways you are not, you and I are not necessarily privy to. I mean, we know when it comes to those who have seven sacraments, the magisterium or baptism with Protestants and so forth. But, you know, the grace of God comes in ways often known to God alone. Now, in the midst of all that, to get to your point, there are different degrees of relationship with Jesus Christ through his church. Those who have sacraments have a much stronger union than those who do not. Those who believe in Jesus have a stronger union than those who do not, right? So that's what this is getting at here in different ways. But as long as you are following the grace of God and the truth that you have without rejecting the truth, God will work with you. And this is where the great mystery comes in. What about, you know, Tim Staples was called here. What about people who say, I believe I'm called to be a pastor at Boulevard Baptist Church, or as I did at Christ Chapel Assembly of God, I believed I was called to be a pastor. And then my prayer came true, and I became a youth pastor, and I said, thank you, Jesus, right? Was God, well, look, ultimately, God is the judge as to whether he called me there or whether I was there, maybe in spite of God calling me somewhere. I mean, nobody is the judge of that other than God. But what we say on the objective level is certainly God could be calling me to be there for God's purpose. He knows how I had to, let's just toss out Cy Kellett. I brought my whole family from paganism and party animals and such into Pentecostalism. Got some of them baptized, all except my one brother, Mike. He held out until we became Catholic. He jokes with us now and says, I was just waiting until y'all got it right. Because he never got baptized, even when we were kids in the Baptist church. He never got baptized when we were Pentecostal, never, until he became Catholic. That's when he got baptized, and that's when, you know. But the point is that God absolutely will call people where they are, and they will experience the prompting of the Holy Spirit that guides them where they are. You might even use that bad word, Cy Kellett, accompanying. God actually accompanies us where we are, but he's giving us grace to bring us where he wants us to be. That's what it's all about. And so don't concern yourself with how could God possibly call somebody in the Mormon community or here or there. I say just rejoice at God's wondrous grace. And we believe God is at work. And we call all men to the fullness of the unity. As the Catechism says, all men are called to this Catholic unity of the people of God, and that's why we're here evangelizing. And why is that? Because everybody needs the fullness of grace and the fullness of truth that we alone possess as Catholics. Because if you're going to get to heaven, it's an arduous journey. You need all the tools you have available to get you there, and that you find only in the Catholic Church. Does that make sense, sister?
It does. It makes me think of a scripture that I cannot locate right now. Isn't there? Yeah. I know there is a scripture about how, but you know, the heavens declare. Well, that's somewhere else.
Yeah, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah, the heavens. Yeah, that's Psalm 19, verse 1.
But there's something in the New Testament about just nature of. It's very evident that we are without excuse.
That's Romans chapter 1, verse 19, 20, 21. You got it. Yeah, the heavens themselves, the creation itself declares the Creator. He's talking about there so that no one is without excuse.
It's about excuse.
Yes. Yes, but remember this too, that people respond to God's handiwork, even in the creation, in different ways. Some people might see that and say, wow, God is awesome, but they believe that God is some, you know, super extraterrestrial from another galaxy somewhere, you know, because they haven't come to the fullness of the understanding of what that really means. So what we say is don't disparage people that aren't all the way there yet. Now, it may well be that folks are on their way to hell, right, who are rejecting God because God revealed it to them and they reject. But see, that's not our business to judge. God knows that stuff. What we know is the grace of God calls all men, and so we build on whatever it is they have now. That's what accompanying is all about. You build from there and give them more.
Keel, thank you so much for that great conversation. Got to take a quick break. Right back with more Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Many people have forgotten just how revolutionary the Bible creation stories are. But the first three chapters of Genesis are a powerful challenge to anyone in any generation who would undervalue human lives. In the Beginning, the new book by Monica Migliorino-Miller will take you on a fantastic journey through the first chapters of Genesis, unfolding the richness of life as God sees it. Get In the Beginning today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest. Just one line open right now. It's Ask Me Anything. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Plus, we're going to have a little bit of fun with Tim the second hour. We didn't tell him this, but we got a poll question up right now. We've got a poll going. Don't answer the poll when I tell people what it is, Tim, because you got to save it for the second hour.
Okay.
All right, because I know you're... This is something you probably have strong feelings about. So the question, and you can get it by going to our YouTube page. Just go to the live show. The poll is up there. If you have the app, it's on the app right now. And the question is this. Don't lie. When do you put the baby Jesus in the manger? And
there is a correct answer.
No. Don't get involved. Let people answer. It says don't lie.
Okay.
Because you know people will give the pious answer, but if you tell them don't lie, they'll give you the true answer. So we will find out.
Oh, is that how that works?
That's how that works. If you say that's yes, that's it's called psychology.
Yeah. If only I'd known that when I was raising children.
Yeah, just say don't lie.
I'll give you my wife's answer, which is the true answer. Then I'll give you mine.
Okay,
which is the rebellious answer.
Next hour, we'll get the results. But anybody can participate. Go ahead to the app if you've got the app, and go to YouTube and go to the live show with Tim on it, and you can get your vote in. And with us in studio is Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. Today is Giving Tuesday, and people have been very generous with us.
And I want to say thank you to everyone who has made a gift. We have a $100,000 match.
Wow.
And like all other Catholic Answers matches, it's a true match. So we don't get the $100,000 until we meet the match.
Wow.
So a handful of donors got together. They pooled this money together, and it's $100,000.
Wow.
And we so far have raised about $55,000 towards it.
Oh, very good.
So we're more than halfway towards the match, but that means a lot of you people listening right now.
Wow.
All you need to do, easy peasy lemon squeezy, givecatholic.com. Givecatholic.com. Go and make your gift and help us meet this match. My friends, Catholic Answers is growing. We're adding podcasts. We've just added the Jimmy Akin podcast. Of course, Joe Heschmeyer's podcast is growing. Spanish language, my goodness. Some of you may not realize this. The entire website, Catholic.com, is available in Spanish right now. And our great friend Edgar, who, by the way, just told me that they're expecting a baby. And you know what else? They are
not. Yeah, Edgar, I think he just announced it on the air.
Oh,
he always announces the babies on the air. He did the same thing on Joe Heschmeyer's first
Hit. It's not public? It's not public?
Oh, it's twice. Chris has done it twice.
Guess what? It's public now.
He also, well, since it's out, he also told me they are not going to find out the sex. And I have the most respect for Edgar.
Yes.
For this.
It's so, a 50-50 shot. What's so admirable
about
that?
They are not going to find out the sex until
it drives you nuts.
Until God,
I gotta tell you,
until God reveals it.
And my wife always wanted to wait. And I,
because she's a nice Christian lady.
She is.
Why is that? I will never understand that.
But you know what? We only made it once out of seven kids.
What is wrong with you?
We only made it once. And you know what? It was the first girl. It was Rose. And I will tell you, it makes it unbelievably better. I mean, so much more special. But why didn't I do it again? Because I can't stand
This is what Jacqueline says. It's the one thing that got her through labor.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
Oh, anyway, just not knowing. Right.
Okay, so I need, okay, this is important. I need everyone to go to givecatholic.com and make a gift for Giving Tuesday in honor of Edgar's forthcoming baby that we do not know the sex of. My friend's Catholic Answers is growing. And I mention Edgar, of course, because he's spearheading our
Spanish language.
Wait a minute. Respuestas Católicas.
Que bueno. Que perfecta.
Yes. Okay, friends. It's a true match. We don't get it till we meet it. One more thing, Cy.
See?
Crypto. If you're a Bitcoin enthusiast, you know that in the last month, you're twice as rich as you were, right?
Is that, you got twice as rich in 1 month? What am I doing? My whole strategy of trying to win the lottery is not working.
So if you want to help us out with Bitcoin, we can take it. All you need to do is go to givecatholic.com and then just go to the frequently asked questions, and there's a link in there to do the Bitcoin. My friends, please help us meet the Giving Tuesday match. Help Catholic Answers continue to reach more and more people. Cy, one more thing. 4 million unique sessions a month at Catholic.com.
A month?
Because of the amazing work of the marketing department, Analia Valdivia there with her content-based marketing.
It's mostly me.
She does
her bit, but
you have a draw.
Yeah. Very good.
GiveCatholic.com, $100,000 match. Please don't let us leave any of this on the table.
And do not forget your local Catholic radio station or network or EWTN. What? I have to say that.
Yes, you do. No. I was just trying
to. Oh, you're saying sorry to.
No, I'm saying sorry to Edgar. He should have told me. It's a secret.
No, here's how you get Chris to keep a secret. Don't tell him.
Support your local affiliates as well, my friends. We need them. We absolutely need them. GiveCatholic.com. Thanks, Cy.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. This is very exciting.
Wow, that is exciting.
And also the poll. Lots of people taking the poll, and I think there's going to be some surprising results next hour. Let's go take another call. Amen. Pero in Norman, Oklahoma, watching on YouTube. Pero, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with the question.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I would like to thank you for instructing such a large audience on the questions of our faith. You've really been doing Christ's job.
All right.
I have one question pertaining to the Gospel of Matthew with the events that take place after the passing of Christ.
Yes.
The third event that is described is the raising of the saints from the tombs.
And
they appear to many within the holy city of Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's 27:52-53.
Yes.
And my question about that is, do you think that that will be attested more in secular sources at the time, or maybe spark up a bigger Christian uprising at the time if it was truly to have taken place? Because it's a bit puzzling to me how such a large resurrection event takes place, and it's really sort of undercover.
Yeah, great. Good question, Perro. And, you know, I think sometimes these questions are rooted in a lack of understanding of just basic numbers of how many people we're talking about in the first century. Like for example, that were involved, I'm saying, with the Christ event. Let me give you, I'll just give you two examples, the one you're asking and another. When people ask about Bethlehem and the situation, the angels and the shepherds seeing what they saw, why was this attested to by more people? Well, it was attested to by a lot of folks in Bethlehem. I know this isn't your question, but it's related, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Namely, the shepherds, the family, and so forth, and they were shouting it from the rooftops. But you have to remember, there was only a roughly 1,500 to 2,000 people living in Bethlehem, right? It was a tiny little village. And so what's amazing, my friend Perro, is how this story was not just remembered, but it became a part of the tradition, the Christian tradition, was attested to, learned by everyone involved, that all the apostles and the Christian community, so much so that it is, in fact, attested to as an act in history, an historical event. Now, fast forward to your question on the resurrection. We forget this as well, Perro, but at the time of the resurrection, now this was at the time of the Passover, so there were thousands of Jews that would have been coming to the temple for the Passover, but most scholars estimate you had probably roughly about 25,000 people that would have been present at this time. But remember, because they were coming to the temple for Passover doesn't mean they all saw the Christ event. Most of them would have never seen anything. They came, they were there for the Passover, they came, they lived, they dined, they worshiped, and they went home, and they didn't see anything. Because again, we're talking about a small subset of the people that were present for the Passover would have actually seen some of what happened to Jesus. Most of them would have. Now, I'm going to do something sacrilegious here, and I know if my daughter Rose, or worse yet, Catherine is listening, she might yell at me for this. But you remember The Life of Brian. I know yes. People say it's blasphemy. I'm sorry, it's just funny. You know, but when Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, you know, they're the faggot. Did he say, bless you all the cheesemakers? What's so blooming?
I can't believe you're doing Life of Brian on the show.
Anyway, the point is, though, and I know it was sort of sacrilegious. But there's truth there in that, you know, it's not like everybody there had front row seats for every single thing that happened. Yes, these events actually happened, and those souls rising from the dead. And remember, it was so profound. It was attested to by the earliest Christian believers. Why? Because they saw it, and they told the story, the apostles themselves, and so forth, and it was believable. But, Perro, you know, I know that skeptics expect that, well, if you would have had something like this happened, it would have been attested to in the Jerusalem Gazette, and then it would have been on the internet in no time. Yeah. Right? But you really, you know, you didn't, obviously I'm joking, but you didn't have the Jerusalem Gazette and you didn't have the internet. And so that's why you're not going to have a worldwide phenomenon. And in fact, this gets back to the great mystery of our faith, in as much as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, right, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He did not come to the greatest kings and so forth in the world to proclaim his coming so that you could get the most people to know in the shortest amount of time. That's not God's MO. He starts with the little baby Moses floating on a river. Right. He starts with a 14-year-old little girl named Mary, and he starts with a little baby in Bethlehem. That's the way God works, and he confounds the wise. And I think he's done a pretty good job because we are talking about it today. And in fact, you know, there's not a whole lot of people in the world that haven't heard the story of Jesus any longer. There are more out there, and we need to reach them, absolutely. But I think God has done a pretty good job. And Peril, you know, one last thing I would say is that when you talk about God's MO and the way that he doesn't overwhelm us, he comes to the small and he builds. There's so many reasons for this, but one very important reason is because God respects our freedom. He created us free. Even with his miracles, he does not overwhelm. And that's something we have to remember as evangelists in sharing the faith. You know, Cy, you and I have talked about this before. There's a difference between evangelism and proselytism, right? Proselytism uses coercion, coercive measures, and, you know, dishonest measures and so forth, and pressuring people into accepting the gospel. The Catholic Church has never stood for that. The Catholic Church understands, as the great Pope St. Paul VI said in what I think is the greatest document on evangelism ever written, Evangelii Nuntiandi, Pope St. Paul VI says, we never impose the faith on anyone. We propose the faith. We propose to people's consciences and we allow them to choose. That is what God does in Bethlehem. That's what God does with the little baby Moses. That's the way. Now, he will come on like barn burners every now and again with his miracles. You know,
right.
We've all seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, right? You know, and yes, he does do some dramatic miracles. But, you know, even the miracles that God performs, there's always a back door. You see it even, I don't know why I've got Charlton Heston on the brain right now. But, you know, that movie in a lot of ways was very biblical because right after the miracles, you see immediately Pharaoh starts to explain them away. Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, that's not blood. There was a massive leak of some iron ore or something, or I don't even know if it was iron ore, way up the river. And that explains what looks like blood in the river and all of that. So, you know, God gives us miracles. He gives us a gospel. He gives us the resurrection. And he masterfully, though, and this is what I so love about our God, he never overwhelms us because he always wants to come to us free. Because as the Catechism of the Catholic Church so beautifully states it, it's because of the gift of freedom that both grave sin and love itself exists, right? At least love, as you and I understand it, exists because of the freedom that we have. And that's why God does not overwhelm us with miracles. He comes as a little baby. Does that help at all, Pero?
Yeah, it does. I think it also helps with the 2 Timothy 2 part where Paul mentions that some people thought that resurrection already taken place. Like
yes.
Philetus and Hymenaeus. So
yeah,
I think they're probably referring to that. It's not out of thin air.
That's right. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Exactly right. That's right, my brother. Well, God bless you. Thanks for your call.
And we will take a quick break. Be right back with more Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch your favorite EWTN show, series, or special, or listen to your favorite EWTN radio program at any time, day or night. EWTN On Demand brings all your favorites instantly. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We've got a poll going right now on the app and on the YouTube live show. The show airs live each day on YouTube, and the poll question is up there. And the answers are quite different between YouTube and the app. I'll have to report both of those next hour. It's a question. The question is this. Don't lie. When do you put the baby Jesus in the manger? If you want to get in on that, head over to our YouTube page. Or if you've got the app, just open the app up. It's Ask Me Anything this hour. Tim Staples is our guest. And since I was at YouTube on the live show checking out the poll, I got a question for you from YouTube. This came from, okay. How would you pronounce I-L-Y? Eily? Illy? Eily? Eily? I'm going to go with Eily.
I'd go with Eily.
All right. Eily asks this. Where do you think, presumably, we are in the eschatology timeline?
Mm-hmm. And my answer is a firm I don't know. That's the bailout, isn't it? I tend to agree with Pope Benedict the 16th. When he was pope, he said, you know, because there seemed to be a lot of fervor, let's just say, during the reign of Pope Benedict. There were, you know, these false prophecies concerning the last pope. And he made the statement that there are certain things that have to happen before the second coming, like the revelation of who the Antichrist is. That's a big one. But of course, these things can happen in a very rapid fashion. And so it's true, it can happen in any generation. But Pope Benedict said, it ain't now. No, he didn't say it in those words. And so I tend to agree with him on that. We have to, I think most importantly, obey the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he says, as we just read this past weekend in the liturgy, it was Luke chapter 21, and one of the famous, you have Mark 13, you have Mark 24, and Luke 21 that all give that same account, although in very different ways, and they each add some really cool stuff. But it's the famous, you know, this generation shall not pass until all this is accomplished. And there, I think I just love the readings for the first week of Advent. It's just glorious. And I have to say, Cy, you know, I say this all the time to my kids, but the Fathers of Vatican II and the Post-Conciliar Fathers just did such a glorious job of putting the lectionary together, the liturgy, the readings. They are so rich, and how all the readings go together. It's just sometimes we take it for granted.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
incredible. But, you know, basically, the readings, if you go back to the first reading, it was Jeremiah 33, which is a prophecy from Jeremiah concerning the coming of the Lord back in his day, which meant the coming of the Babylonians in judgment, but a fuller coming of the Lord that would happen via the restoration of the people of God, and then the fullest of revelation of the coming of the Lord, which would be in Jesus Christ. You got all of that in Jeremiah 33. It's so powerful moving forward toward Luke 21, but the lesson I think we got from the first week of Advent is that the coming of the Lord has many different meanings, and they are all crucial for us to understand. From an Old Testament perspective, the coming of the Lord at the time of Jeremiah, and then looking forward to the restoration of the people of God, the temple, the priesthood, as he says, and the kingship. Oh, don't get me started. And the kingship. Even though Zedekiah would be killed, and guess what? The kings ended with Zedekiah, and yet Jeremiah says there will always be a king on the throne. How can that be? Well, it's fulfilled in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. You see my point, Si?
Yes.
That there's multiple levels of fulfillment going on here, and that's what we got in Luke chapter 21, is yet this generation will see all this happen. What's that referring to? The judgment that fell, the destruction of the temple, and so forth. But there's a fuller fulfillment that comes in the second coming of the Lord. And there's a fulfillment. In fact, this generation refers in a special way to the generation 2,000 years ago and in a special way to that final generation. But guess what? It also refers to all of us, because in every generation, we are the generation in a Eucharistic sense. We experience the coming of the Lord every day in the Eucharist. Oh, my goodness. And so this is why, from a Catholic perspective, when people get, all into, well, is this the time? Is this the time? And it's fine to have those conversations, because there is going to be a time when Jesus really does come, visibly. And the world will see him, and the final judgment will come. But again, for us, the emphasis is on our personal coming of the Lord. We have to be ready for our personal exodus, right? Exiting this place and standing before the throne of God. And liturgically speaking, we are experiencing that the first century Christians experience and the final generation will experience. We all experience that in the Eucharist. And so that's why, I'll cop out and tell you, I don't know as far as the second coming. I don't even think we're close, but I could be wrong. But it can. And I'll leave you with that thought from Pope Benedict. The final events will happen with such rapidity that it'll be like, it's like when you're waiting for Christmas. I remember 6 months ago, right, Rose, if my daughter Rose has listened, I was saying, I can't wait for Christmas 6 months ago, right? And now it's here.
Yep.
You're like, oh my gosh, remember when we said that? So these things will happen quickly. The key is be ready.
Maria in Baghdad, Kentucky, you are up next. Maria, if you could be quick with your question, we'll get you an answer.
Yes.
Yeah, Maria?
Sorry.
Hi, yeah. You're on the air. Welcome.
It's Myra.
Myra, I apologize. I was rushing, and
okay.
I apologize for that.
That's okay. So, both of you guys, but Tim.
Yes.
The Psalm today, 72 from the reading.
Yes.
Who wrote it? Because I was super confused. I thought I had it down. Dr. Tim Gray did his reflection on the Amen app.
Yeah.
Said it was written by Solomon, and I'm thinking it's written by David for Solomon, ultimately for Christ, but so help me out.
Yeah, I think it's clear. In the attribution given in the manuscript, it does say a song of Solomon. Now, there are a lot of scholars who will say that this is the final psalm of David. You may have read that. It's kind of an ascription. It's ascribed to David, in that you see David's heart, you see David in it. But it is a psalm of Solomon. So there are other scholars who believe that it was written by Solomon, and I tend to be there. David and Solomon are of the same heart, right? Now, for those who say it's the final psalm of David, those are the ones I have a little trouble with, because, a lot of folks ascribe this psalm to David in that sense. But my goodness, Psalm 119 is ascribed to David. This is not, I would argue, the final psalm of David either. Anyway, that wasn't your question, but I do believe it is a psalm of Solomon. That seems to be what the text is saying. But that doesn't mean you can't ascribe it to David either. And, it's kind of like, not an exact one-to-one, more of an analogy. We say 1 Peter, right? And yet it wasn't written by Peter. Right? It was written by Silvanus, right? But of course, the heart of it is Peter's. Right? It's that kind of thing. Anyway, I wish we could do better, but we got to go.
Myra, I'm so sorry I got your name wrong. I tell you what, I'd like to give you a copy of Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. I hope we'll talk again, but we got to take a quick break, and then we will continue with Ask Me Anything with Tim Staples. So if you're on the line, hang on the line. If you haven't called yet, there'll be one line open, 888-318-7884. And the answer to our big YouTube app question, quiz question, coming up. Yeah.